We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's Stokes in a three. The tip, no, and it is over. The 13-seeded UC Irvine Anteaters have stunned Kansas State. Their first ever NCAA tournament victory.
If we're winning, I'm going to leave them in, and we were winning. And I got close. Barry wanted to go in. He started running to the bench. I put Gardy in. We made a play. We were up three. They make the big shot at the end of the half. Obviously, that's when it comes down to it, it's a big play.
We got good shots. We got what we wanted. Some of them made some tough shots. We had multiple chances to win. Really came down to us. We beat ourselves. They ain't beat us.
Oh, some head-slapping decisions from Bruce Weber after K-State gets knocked out of the first round of the NCAA tournament by the 13-seed UC Irvine Anteaters. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. We had sunshine this morning for about 30 minutes, and the clouds rolled in, and probably going to get some rain today. My name is Brad Porter in the 810 studios. Chris Bullig is running the show. You can follow us on Twitter. My handle is @BradKPorter. You can follow Chris @Chris_Bullig. We're going to be talking NCAA tournament because we have a really short show today. Only 1 hour. And then we'll hand it off at 10 o'clock to the NCAA tournament special. So it's funny because when I fill in for certain shows, whether it's Keatsman or Seren on their shows during the week. In fact, I might be on Seren's show Monday. He might be might have jury duty. I don't know yet. I'm on standby.
Doing his civic duty, yes, to the public.
Red Alert 5. I've done jury duty one time.
I've never had to do it.
I sat at the courthouse all day, got called in for one of the last trials of the day, went through the questioning process where they questioned the jurors, can you make this decision? It was some kind of property damage dispute, I guess, and I didn't really answer any of the questions because I didn't have any problem with anybody, and then I got dismissed, and I asked one of the lawyers afterwards, I'm like, I'm just curious, I was here all day, I was ready to do this. Why wasn't I not picked? And they said, because you didn't object to anything. And the people who objected, like, I cannot judge fair, they made the jury. So if you're going to jury duty and you're a pain in the ass, you're going to be on the jury. I'm just telling you that from my experience. So I don't know how I got off on that track, but so we got a short show today. So my point was, when I do the shows for Seren or Kevin, it's 4 hours. Those are pretty long shows. And the morning show is a long show, too. It's 4 hours. And normally we do 2 to 3 hours here on Saturday and Sunday. So 1 hour, I mean, this is a walk in the park, Kazansky, to borrow a term from Top Gun.
Well, it kind of sucks because, I mean, we had a lot of stuff. Well, we have a lot of stuff, and we had some good guests lined up.
Well,
we still do.
Yep.
Got
Kevin Romery from Midcoast Sports in Lawrence is with the Jayhawks in Salt Lake City. He's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. We'll get an update on Devon Dotson, tweaked an ankle injury. So Kevin Romery is going to join us on that. We'll get down to some bracket talk. I don't know how your brackets are doing. I guess I measure my performance. I'm in the NCAA or the ESPN pool for a couple of different groups. So I'm currently ranked in the 84th percentile nationally. Top 2.2 million people. Woohoo! I got that going for me. But the K-State stuff yesterday. Okay, let's start there. Why in the heck is Bruce Weber pulling Barry Brown with two fouls in the first half? I don't get it. I don't understand it. He finished the game with two fouls. And only played 26 minutes. He's the best player left on the roster. Sorry, I don't mean to yell. If you're in your car and you're listening to the radio, I don't mean to yell. But he's your best player. He played 26 minutes. He got pulled early in the first half because he had two fouls. Dean Wade ain't playing. And you put Barry Brown on the bench?
I mean, this has kind of been a staple for Bruce Weber in terms of, like, if a guy gets two fouls, he'll try to leave them on the bench as long as he possibly can. But this Anteater team, even when K-State would get, you know, a 6-7 point, they kept, you know, fighting back.
Yes!
They were throwing punches, haymakers left and right. So you got to know that, and you got to think of it to the next half, too, in terms of the rhythm. He's Barry Brown being out for a whole half, like, that does a lot to a basketball player. That takes you out of your rhythm, kind of takes you out of the flow of the game for a whole half. And you might not get going until, you know, mid right. second half, until you're back, you know, in the flow and feeling the game. So, I mean, and the thing is, it's not like Barry Brown is a big guy who is more apt to, you know, getting fouls
right.
or susceptible to being, you know, driven at, or, you know, people, you know, having more
like
meetings
the kid
at
in
the rim.
The kid in the Iowa
Cincinnati game.
The yes. big kid from Cincinnati came in and got his fifth foul 10 seconds after he came off the bench.
Yeah, and that completely changed the dynamic of the game. But yeah, like, it's not like he's a big guy who, you know, he's going to have a lot of meetings at the rim with guys driving to the basket. This is a guy who knows he's a smart player. You know, he's a senior. He knows that he can't pick up a third foul, so he's going to be conscientious of that.
Right.
He's gonna, and he ended up with two fouls.
And it's not like he was shooting lights out. I mean, he finished the game 2 for 9, but as you mentioned, he got out of his rhythm by sitting for 14, 15 minutes. It reminded me, I had a flashback, okay? So if you're in the NCAA tournament, you can't save people for later in the game when this is a one-and-done situation, okay? It reminded me of the 2014 ALCS. Royals against the Orioles. And Buck Showalter refused to use his closer, Zach Britton. Just refused. Wow, we might need him for extra innings. No! You might be done. There's no playing for tomorrow if you're about to be eliminated. You can't play for the next game. You can't manage for the next game knowing you're going to be eliminated. That's what Buck Showalter did against the Royals. And they got swept. Remember the big headline was at Wall Street Journal, the chess master versus the dunce? Buck Showalter versus Ned Yost? Showalter was the dunce, even though the article called Ned Yost the dunce. Well, he swept your rear ends. Barry Brown with two fouls. Okay, he wasn't having the greatest game. He didn't have the greatest game, but he's your best player. Xavier Sneed was good. I get it. Kamal Stokes was good. He had 18 points. Wasn't fantastic, but he got to the foul line and made his free throws. So Barry Brown only plays 26 minutes? You don't know if you're going to win the game. You don't know if you're going to lose the game. But you know, for those 40 minutes, you need your best players on the floor. Barry Brown's just sitting over there on the bench because he's got two fouls? You have got to be kidding me. You have seriously got to be kidding me. And then I heard some of the press conference after the game. I think Kevin had it on Between the Lines. And Bruce Weber is saying, well, you know, we turned the ball over a lot, which they did 13 times. UC Irvine turned it over 14 times. You didn't lose the game in the turnover battle. You lost the game because your best player sat on the bench and only played 26 minutes because of two fouls. Two fouls. Am I making too much of a big deal of this? I feel like I'm screaming. But,
no, okay. I think it's something.
I want to make sure I'm balanced here.
Especially if you're a Kansas State fan that you should be questioning.
I picked UC Irvine in my bracket, okay? So the result was fine with me, but if K-State would have won, that would have been great. Like, I'm an Iowa fan. I picked against Iowa, but I was still happy they won. I don't care. I'm not going to win the bracket challenge anyway, okay? One person's going to win it. It ain't going to be me. I would have been perfectly fine with K-State winning. I'd love to see the local kids do well. But man alive, sitting Barry Brown because he got two fouls for crying out loud. Ugh. So I bring myself back down a little bit. Want to make sure I wasn't going too far there.
You have every right.
Okay. Unbelievable. So K-State's done. You're going home. Congratulations. Sat your best player for a good chunk of the game. Good chunk of that first half. Well, enjoy watching the games from home. So I was looking around at some of the other games in the brackets. By the way, today's games, the first game isn't until noon, maybe 10 minutes after noon. Let me look. It is. It'll be Maryland LSU at 12:10. That's the early game today.
Is that Eastern time though? It might be Eastern.
Central time. Maybe 11 o'clock. Okay. So we have to wait a little bit. And the early games today they stretch out. So you're only going to get one game, like at 11. One game at 2, and then they stack them up later in the day.
Boo.
And because I like flipping around. There's not as many games, so you got to stretch them out a little bit.
Expand the tournament. So, not really, though.
No, not at all. By the way, glad I went with Chris Bullig's advice on Wofford. I picked them to get that big win, and that kid McGee hit...
The Terriers.
Oh, my gosh. That kid McGee was unbelievable.
He's good.
What stunned me is I talked to my brother, who's not the biggest sports fan in the world, but he's a KU guy, and he loves the NCAA tournament. And we were talking about Wofford, and he asked me, he goes, did you watch it? And I said, yes, I watched it. And he tuned in. And he said, I couldn't believe how quick that kid was able to get his shots off. Coming off a screen, it was a half a second release. Come off a screen, get the ball, half a second, boom, three-pointer. Unbelievable. That's a fun team to watch. And that kid is a fun kid to watch.
He is. And kind of kind of taking you off the waffle, but going back to the K-State
sure.
thing, how do you think, fans, I think – a lot of people were starting to turn the corner, especially K-State fans, how they viewed Bruce Weber in certain ways, and he's always been in the doghouse. But how do you think K-State fans will kind of look back at this season in terms of how Bruce Weber, how was he as a coach this season? Like how would you rate what this season meant to K-State fans in terms of, ending the streak, but then ultimately
right.
coming up short as a 4 seed. Granted, they didn't have Dean Wade.
I think there's red meat for both sides. If you're a fan of Bruce Weber, and look, I'm a fan, just not of what he did yesterday. I'm a fan of Bruce Weber. So here's the red meat. If you like Bruce Weber, you won a share of the Big 12 regular season championship, broke KU's streak, or were part of it, along with Texas Tech. Last year, went to the Elite Eight unexpectedly, knocked off Kentucky, which was awesome. So there's red meat if you're on that side. If you're in the anti-Bruce Weber camp, your red meat is didn't do very well in the Big 12 tournament and knocked out in the first round by UC Irvine. So a little bit of everything. But I kind of go back to Seren Petro's rule is know who you are. K-State knows who they are. I don't think this is the most awful thing in the world. It's not good to lose to a 13 seed, UC Irvine, the Anteaters. It's not a good thing, but it happens. It happens to Kansas. It's happened to Missouri many times. Happened to, the worst was Virginia last year. Things like this happen. Disappointing. So can Bruce Weber correct those mistakes?
Well, I think
they're going to take a step back next year.
Yeah.
You lose Barry Brown, you lose Dean Wade, and you lose Kamaya Stokes.
Yep.
Kamaya Stokes, your big three. Arguably one of the greatest senior classes in K-State history. So you're going to be taking a step back next year. I think they'll be taking a step back
next
year.
Well, I think Kansas State fans might, with Bruce Weber, might have a sour taste in their mouth after this because it kind of is on Bruce Weber for that loss, in my opinion. It kind of is. I mean,
well, and the kids can't turn the ball over. I understand that. The turnovers were terrible.
Yeah, okay. 13 isn't – it's not like a 17 or 18
right.
turnover game. And you won the turnover battle.
Right.
You won the turnover
by
battle.
By one, yes.
So you technically won the turnover yep. battle. I mean, it's just interesting to look at because how much emphasis is put on Bruce Weber not putting Barry Brown – back in the game, only playing 6 minutes in the first half. So it's just interesting to look at how, the Kansas State faithful will look at this going forward
yeah.
in terms
of
how they view Bruce
good.
Weber.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And next year's going to be a challenge, losing three of your best players. all seniors. So, yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Just looking through some other NCAA tournament notes. We're going to get more into KU here at about 9:25, 9:30 with Kevin Romery. He's going to join us live from Salt Lake City. So that's why I've kind of held off on the KU talk. And they got the late game tonight, 8:40. And that never tips off on time. It won't tip off till what, 9 o'clock? So it'll be a late night for KU fans.
I mean, it makes sense. It's one of the more intriguing matchups of the day, in my opinion. And it's mountain time, so they're an hour behind in Salt Lake City.
Kansas and Auburn. Auburn barely surviving their game against New Mexico State. And I wasn't surprised by that at all because I saw New Mexico State play against Kansas at Sprint Center in December, I believe it was. So I was out there to cover the game. I took my youngest, who's a KU fan, of the game, and New Mexico State was really good. Athletic, crashed the boards, high-energy team. So I was not surprised they pushed Auburn to the very end. Now, the sequence at the end of the game was embarrassing.
Yes.
Wide-open layup to tie the game. Instead, we kick out for a three to try to win it. And the explanations afterwards were not good either. I don't like cracking on college kids, but when you say, well, my teammate was hot, I wanted to give him a chance to win it. No. You get to overtime first. Wide open. And then you miss two out of three free throws. Auburn commits that stupid foul on a three-point attempt. But the kid only makes one out of two. And then you missed another wide open three. Wow.
Well, the funny thing was about that game, I mean, Auburn, for about 36, 37 minutes of the game, had complete control of it.
Yes. And then the wheels came off.
They literally tried to give the game to New Mexico State at the end.
They gave them every opportunity to win the game. And New Mexico State just could not close the gap. Some of the interesting storylines. I like this one. You've been a big fan, Chris. You've been a big fan of Taco Fall from Central Florida.
I've been on his hype train for a while this season now.
The kid is 7'6". I think I heard during one of the games last night, he's like the third tallest human being in the world. I don't know how you would determine that, but he's 7'6". He's one of the tallest people on planet Earth, all right? So UCF gets the win over VCU, and they draw Duke. Now, UCF, do you know their coaches? I kind of forget this because I don't follow UCF closely.
I can't quite remember.
Their coach is Johnny Dawkins, one of the greatest players in Duke history and NCAA tournament history. I was a fan of his when I was a kid because he played early to mid-'80s, probably like 82 to 85, somewhere around there. I was a big Johnny Dawkins fan, not necessarily a Duke fan, but a Johnny Dawkins fan. So he knows Coach Krzyzewski. He was an assistant with Coach K for 10 years, I believe. But Taco Fall, 7'6". He's going to be going head-to-head with Zion Williamson. So this is what Taco Fall says. And I love it. I absolutely love it. Taco Fall on Zion Williamson, whether or not Zion's going to be able to get to him. Quote, "It's very hard to dunk on me. I mean, I won't allow it. I won't allow it. I won't allow him putting me on one of his highlight tapes." He says he's someone pretty much we've never seen in weight, size. He's immense. And he's so quick, Taco Fall says. Quote, "But the coaches are going to have a great game plan, especially Coach Dawkins. I feel like because he played at Duke, so he's going to have to help us out a lot." But how about that? Taco Fall saying Zion Williamson will not put me on a poster.
I love it.
Absolutely love it. And that's not trash talking. That's just being confident in yourself. The guy's 7'6".
I mean, Taco Fall, if you're 7'6", you got every right to be. You got to be an authoritative figure in the lane, especially against that Duke team that has some high flyers. You know, they have, you know, of course, Zion and Bolden.
Yep.
And, you know, RJ Barrett can get up and get to the rim, Cam Reddish as well. So it's going to be fun to see. Also, though, I would like to make a note.
Sure.
I would like to apologize on behalf of Iowa State to Kansas City businesses that are going to be affected because they are not going to be going to the Sweet 16. I would just like to apologize because they just lost to an Ohio State team that had not beat a ranked team all season. They had won 18 games going into the Big Ten tournament. Yeah, and they won one game. They beat Indiana, and they had lost four of their last five going into the Big Ten tournament. And you just let an 11 seed, last four in, beat you. How is, you know what, I'm a sick, I know, you know, everyone's made jokes, you know, Kansas, you know, they've had their, you know, hiccups, but yeah. Iowa State, I swear, they've had two Sweet 16 appearances in the last, not counting 2000, because in 2000 they went to the Elite Eight, I believe, with Jamal Tinsley, but they've only made two second weekend entrances since that 2000 season, and I believe 2014 and 2016. This is just horrible. Yes. I'm sick of it. And
it's Iowa State is one of those teams that is super unpredictable, but here's what you can always predict about Iowa State. They play lousy defense. They've been lousy on defense all season. And they just want to shoot three-pointers. That's what they do. That's fine if you can play a little defense. They cannot play defense. This has been their issue all season. They had it all lined up, much like Kansas, all lined up. They could have been here in Kansas City for another weekend. Iowa State fans down at Power and Light and Waldo and Brookside and down to wherever. And they cannot play a lick of defense. They have good players. There's no reason they shouldn't be able to play some defense. And now the rumor is Alabama wants Coach Prom. After watching that, they won the Big 12 tournament. Okay, they were a good team for two or three days in Kansas City. That's who Alabama thinks is going to come in and change the program? Bryce Drew, by the way, 3 years and gone? I know they didn't win a conference game this year, but who does Alabama think it is?
Well, and going off that, it's not like Ohio or Iowa State. They only gave up 62 points.
Right.
So you'd think Iowa State giving up 62 points could at least get a win over a last four team in. But they got beat up. They could not do anything. The second chance and third chance opportunities that Ohio State were getting yesterday, it was hard to watch sometimes. They couldn't get a rebound. They couldn't box out. Ohio State was just tougher. They just wanted it more. And Wesson inside, number 34, I believe, for Ohio State, was an absolute beast.
Yep.
He had his way down low with Lard. And Jacobson, he looked weak. He was weak. He couldn't handle him. So, you know, sorry, Iowa State. Have fun with your Big 12 tournament, you know, victor, you know, your Big 12 tournament championship. And I guess that's all you're going to do. I guess you're just going to keep choking in the NCAA tournament.
Well, I was looking. You mentioned Ohio State crashing the boards. Ohio State had 12 offensive rebounds.
Yes, it was crazy.
And Iowa State had six. That tells me there's a lack of toughness there. 100%. All right, we are coming up on a timeout here. Again, it's a short show today. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we'll have the NCAA tournament special. But we're going to keep it here for the next 27 minutes or so. Coming up next, Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence is going to join us. He is with the Kansas Jayhawks in Salt Lake City, so he's at high altitude, and I saw some of the pictures being posted from Salt Lake City. Looks gorgeous. Looks absolutely gorgeous. So we'll have Kevin Romery on. We'll get the latest on Devon Dotson tweaking his ankle, and we'll get a preview of the Jayhawks matchup with Auburn, which will be the late game tonight, scheduled for 8:40. But those things usually run a little bit behind. We'll take a quick timeout. You are listening to Sports Saturday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. And you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. A little overcast today. By the way, I saw the pictures of some of the flooding, especially in downtown Parkville, because I'm a native Northlander. I don't live there anymore, but my dad lives up there, and I got a lot of friends who live up there and some family. And the water's already coming into English Landing Park, and it's coming up through the parking lots. And, boy, I just hope the businesses down there are okay, because I was there in the flood of 93, putting sandbags on the train tracks, and it couldn't hold it back. The water got all the way to the top of the building where Stone Canyon Pizza is now. It used to be McKeon's Ice Cream Shop. But thinking about all those folks up there. We're talking college basketball here. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show. We're talking NCAA tournament. The first game of the day is at 11:10, and that is LSU and Maryland. And locally, we'll have to wait a long time today. KU and Auburn at 8:40, which you can hear live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And that game is in Salt Lake City, which is where we find friend of the program, Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence. Kevin, how are the mountains of Salt Lake City?
Well, it's a beautiful city. The weather has not been really good since we have been here. It was great maybe on Tuesday when we landed, but I was telling Chris, it's been rainy, and out of my window, I don't want to make you guys feel bad back at home, but in my hotel window, I can see mountains in two directions. And it's kind of in the backdrop of this of downtown, and I can actually see KU's team hotel out of my window here too. But I can't see the mountains right now because of the rain and the gray clouds, and it's been kind of a crummy week weather-wise. But otherwise, beautiful city. I certainly see the appeal of why people want to live out here for sure. It's a very different place, as you can imagine, than the Kansas City metro area.
Exactly. I was texting with our friend Kenitra Pulliams from the Jayhawk TV network, who's out there as well. I know you've seen her out there, and I texted her, I think, on Tuesday. I said, how's the weather out there? And she goes, it's great, but the next 2 days are going to be crappy. You're in the mountains covering the NCAA tournament. It's not a bad way to go.
No. You know, and no disrespect to Tulsa and Des Moines and, like, Oak City and Omaha, St. Louis. I mean, you've been on all those runs, too.
Yep.
I feel like I've been to all those places about 5 times for tournament games this year. So this is something different, something new. Kind of like, it's been fun.
Well, I think either Salt Lake City or San Jose would have been desirable choices for those of us who are concerned about that.
I did see some K-State postings. I want to say it was like the band or something. They were doing something. They put on online from the pool at the hotel out in San Jose, and I thought, that's not a bad way to go either right now.
Exactly.
You could probably do that, too.
We're speaking with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports in Lawrence. He is with the Kansas Jayhawks in Salt Lake City as they get ready for Auburn tonight. 8:40 tip-off live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a long wait today. So I guess the positive side for KU is Devon Dotson will get as much treatment as he possibly can. I know Bill Self spoke either yesterday or the day before that he tweaked his ankle. Is there any update on that on Devon Dotson? Because he had an absolutely terrific game against Northeastern.
He was great. He's been great really the last couple of months.
Yes.
I mean, after Diedrich, I mean, let's be honest. If there's any guy you feel like you can count on, I mean, it's Devon Dotson, though.
Right.
Yeah, the ankle, it didn't look good when it happened at the time. Yesterday, talking to him and the coaches about it, it doesn't seem like he's going to be too concerned. He didn't seem concerned at all yesterday when we were talking to him in the locker room. But we'll see. These quick turnarounds, we always make a big deal out of them, whether it's the Big 12 tournament or once you get to the NCAA tournament. Coach always, we ask him about that in NCAA tournament. It says, guys, kind of like Big 12 play. You play a Saturday and KU plays 4 or 5 big Mondays, so there's really, really no difference in that. But, we'll find out tonight. He didn't seem concerned last night. I don't think anybody did. He's going to start. We're going to find out tonight. But I don't think that's a huge concern with Devon. I think the bigger concern actually yesterday was Marcus Garrett. He was sick apparently the night before. He was not at the arena yesterday.
Right.
He did not practice. And so we'll see that they don't think it's the flu, even though it was flu-like symptoms. So we'll wait and see if he is ready to go. And Coach made a comment there too. Said, well, he's going to have to go. He's like, we can't play this game without him. So whether or not he's even close to 100%. And like you said, Brad, maybe it's a good thing we're going to sit around here all day. I'm jealous of these people with this 11:10 or 10:10 our time tip off. Man, that would be fantastic today. But maybe it's better for both of those guys if they get a few extra hours of maybe some hydration and some rest before a late tip off tonight.
I'm gonna say with Marcus Garrett, it's probably just a matter of getting some rest and getting hydrated, probably getting an IV or something like that. And we all know what top athletes are like, especially in Division I college basketball. They're going to go. There's nothing that's going to keep them off the court because there might not be another game next week if they don't participate and try to win this game.
Well, and especially this year. I mean, this is
– right.
We're so accustomed to Kansas being a 1 or 2 seed, Brad. I mean, how spoiled have we been over the last 15 years really with Bill and really over the last 10 years? And so – not only has Kansas been a huge favorite in the opening round game when you're a 1 or a 2, but you're a huge favorite in the second round game. You fall down to that 3 or 4 spot, you're not a huge favorite. In fact, I think according to Vegas, Kansas is not a favorite at all tonight. I think it's either a pick 'em or maybe the Jayhawks a 1.5 point underdog as the 4 seed against the 5. And I think most of that is just because Auburn's been really good the last couple of weeks, going through that SEC tournament and winning, I think, 9-10 in a row now. So this is a team that's red hot. And I mean, it's a 50-50 game. When was the last time Kansas played a second-round game? And I know the Jacks have lost a couple of these, but when was the last time Kansas was in this situation where it was a 50-50 game in the first weekend?
Yeah, it started out 50-50 even, but it has now moved to Auburn -2. So Auburn favored by 2. So the money must have been coming in heavy on one side. And look, these are gambling things. It's not an indication of who you know will potentially win the game. But Auburn being a 2-point favorite is that tells you where the money's going right now.
Well, you said it. You know, Devon's ankle. Yeah, we're not exactly sure. I think he's going to be fine today, but there's some question marks there. And then Marcus Garrett, the news comes out yesterday that he's sick, a guy that Bill Self obviously loves and relies on, not necessarily for a ton of offense, but obviously on defense. And the next thing you know, the line jumps from 1 to 2.
Yeah, exactly.
that's how those things work, I guess.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show, and our guest is Kevin Romery from Midco Sports. He is with the Jayhawks in Salt Lake City. A couple of things that stuck out to me in the game, other than just the win, and it was anticlimactic. It was pretty much done by halftime, I thought. But one of the things that stood out, other than just Dedrick Lawson and Devon Dotson, and Ochai Agbaji was fantastic. He didn't miss a shot either from the floor or from the free throw line. But Quentin Grimes, we're on this roller coaster again. It looked like a couple of weeks ago, Quentin Grimes had kind of woken up and rediscovered his Michigan State form, but he slipped back again. It was only 1 for 6 in the game, 1 of 5 from downtown, finished with 3 points. I can't quite figure it out. I understand he's a freshman, and not all freshmen adjust to Division I basketball the same way, but where other people like Agbaji, who's been, you know, up and down at times, whereas, you know, folks like Agbaji have adapted fairly quickly, Quentin Grimes seems to just still not be able to kick it in gear for a guy who was thought to be a one-and-done guy.
Yeah, it's an interesting conundrum for Kansas, and Bill Self really doesn't have any other options at this point. I mean, Quentin, he's going to play, and sadly, it's kind of what you say there, Brad. When you think about games for him this year, you sadly just think of a couple. You mentioned Michigan State. Man, does that not seem like another season ago
yep.
when that game was played?
Absolutely.
And I think what's most disappointing is this is the kind of game where you would hope that he would – I mean, I don't expect a 25-point game and come out and hit 6 three-pointers, but just a solid effort, kind of like Ochai had. And it's the reason I say that is just because of the level of competition. I mean, no disrespect to Northeastern, but I mean, one of the reasons Kansas won by 30 points for the first time, I think the last time they had a lead like that was against South Dakota, which is a team you would probably compare,
right?
At least athlete-wise, to a school like Northeastern, is that he didn't just perform and just have a better game just because you're playing against a little bit lesser opponent. I think that's what's probably most disappointing. And, you know, in the NCAA tournament, though, and how many times have we seen it, you know, you don't need a guy that's great 4 straight games to keep continuing. You just need a couple of guys to be great, maybe 1 or 2 games. So maybe tonight's the night, you know, for Quentin Grimes, and we're talking about this game next week because he did hit 5 three-pointers, and that was really the difference between Kansas moving on or not moving on. I think we both agree. We mentioned it earlier that you know what you're going to get from Dedrick, right? You pencil him in for roughly 20-12. It's crazy.
Right.
You know, it's crazy that you could do that. But you pencil him in for 20-12. I feel very good now about penciling in, you know, Devon Dotson for like a 17-5 kind of game, assists, that kind of thing. You need that third guy, though. And maybe it's tonight. Maybe Quentin hits 5 threes. He scores 20. And Kansas moves on. The problem has been the season, the inconsistency. And that's why Kansas is – quite honestly, in the situation now where it's a 4 seed in a 50-50 game in just the second round of the NCAA tournament.
We're speaking with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports. He's at the site in Salt Lake City where the Jayhawks will play Auburn tonight at 8:40 live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Another head-scratcher, but maybe for, I guess it's a good reason if you're a KU fan, is KJ Lawson, for crying out loud. Look, I get it was Northeastern, But KJ's a guy who sometimes plays 8 minutes a night. Sometimes he'll play 20. He played 23 against Northeastern and at times looked unstoppable. He went 6 of 10 from the floor with 13 points, got three rebounds, I believe. And just if you put the Lawson brothers' numbers together, they would have beaten Northeastern. I'm saying that facetiously. But
yeah, and I just kind of what we mentioned. I mean, his numbers, you hope he has a game like that against Northeastern. You know, you want his numbers to be solid, hoping that he can help out in a tougher game. And it's going to be a lot tougher tonight. And I'll tell you what, being in that Auburn locker room and seeing those guys play, they've got some athletes. I mean, this is going to look like a Big 12 game for sure. And that's what it should be in the second round. But if you can get 38 tonight out of the Lawson brothers combined, and what did you say? I think he had three rebounds too. I think it was 13-3. So you get 38 and 15 from those two guys tonight. I like Kay's chances. I mean, absolutely. And the game it's going to be another strange game. And I think KJ will probably get more minutes. And when I say strange, it's, four guards again. I feel like when Kansas went to this a couple of years ago, we hardly ever saw it. You just didn't see four guards. And now I feel like you see it more often than you see the big guys. You know, I think David may start again, like he did, but I mean, how many minutes did he
play? He played 11 minutes. That was it.
Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay. That's 11 minutes. And my guess is he'd probably play less tonight. Might be wrong depending on fouls and this and that, but it's going to be another four-guard kind of deal. And I think especially if Devon's ankle, if he has to cut his minutes back a little bit, if Marcus is sick and has to come out a couple extra times, I mean, those are all KJ's minutes waiting right there. And the way he played in the first round, quite honestly, Brad, I think he's earned it. I mean, he's earned the chance to go in and be a difference maker in the second round of this tournament.
We're speaking with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports. He's covering the NCAA tournament in Salt Lake City, where Kansas will play Auburn tonight. Kevin, let's take a look at Auburn here. You had a chance to watch him up close against New Mexico State. And look, I was not surprised by New Mexico State and how they were able to hang with Auburn. I was horrified at the way the game finished for both teams because it was it was ridiculous. Chris and I were talking about it early in the show. Auburn tried to give away the game. New Mexico State made boneheaded decisions, but you and I saw New Mexico State against KU at Sprint Center. And what I saw from New Mexico State was a very athletic team, a quick team, a team that pounded the boards against Kansas. So I was not surprised that they hung with Auburn and darn near knocked them off. But it's a whole new game now, but Auburn's got some things to figure out as well.
I think they felt great. I joked with one of their guys yesterday. I said, I'm guessing you felt great for about 35 minutes and then not so good about
yes.
it. Played for five, and he laughed and said, actually, yeah, that's about right. And it is amazing what the NCAA tournament does to you. You know, you get to a lead. If you get to a lead like KU had in the first round, then you just cruise. It's no big deal. But if you kind of have that middle ground lead, it's kind of in the double digits, and then you just try to hang on at the end. You know, we were talking about this yesterday, a couple of us in the media room, that new league that's starting where with, like, whatever minutes are left, they're just going to put a point total that you have to get to, and then the game's over.
Right.
That way the game ends, you know, on a made shot. If you could do that, I don't think you would have some of these situations, but the teams are just trying to get that clock to run out, and that's obviously what Auburn was trying to do at the end of that one. And almost, I mean, can you imagine if that last, that was a wide-open three-pointer that they had to win the game at the end. If that had gone down, Auburn would, I mean, they would never live that one down. And, I mean, this is a program that hasn't been here very often. It's only been, according to what a couple of the guys told me yesterday, the entire program has only been to four Sweet 16s all time, and I think one Elite Eight. And this is a group of kids, it's an upper-class group, that made it to this round last year and lost. So, I mean, this is a group that knows the history of the program and really can put its own stamp and legacy on Tiger basketball here in the next couple of weeks. Comparative scoring-wise, we know what happened with Kansas and New Mexico State at the Sprint Center. And then you look at the score and kind of what happened with Auburn and New Mexico State. I mean, is there any reason to believe that kind of Kansas and Auburn's not going to kind of come down to something similar tonight?
It's going to be down to the wire.
With all things being equal, I'd be very surprised if either team runs away with this one, unless this is, I think, everybody's big concern. And Auburn goes out and hits 13, 14, 15 three-pointers, which it is absolutely capable of doing. I think this is a team that, I think a couple comparisons, and Kansas fans won't like to hear this, but compares a little bit to last year's Villanova.
I was going to say the Villanova game.
With the number of guys that can shoot the three, Brad, I think there's six guys on this roster that legitimately will shoot the three and can make the three at any time. And that's been a problem for Kansas all season long, even when Bell is playing the four-guard lineup.
You're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. We're speaking with Kevin Romery from Midco Sports. He's covering the NCAA tournament in Salt Lake City, Kansas and Auburn tonight at 8:40, live right here on WHB. You know, Kevin, it's head-scratching. We were talking about decisions that are kind of lack for an explanation. I've always had issues with the way teams operate in end-of-game scenarios, whether it's playing for the last shot, which I don't think you should ever do. I think you should take the shot with enough time to give yourself a chance for a rebound. That's just me. Don't wait for the final 3 to 4 seconds. Take it at 10, 9, 8 seconds and have a chance for a rebound. The way that game between Auburn and New Mexico State finished yesterday, the kid passing up an open layup to tie the game, and his explanation after the game was, well, I thought my guy was kind of hot, and I thought we had a chance to win. That defies logic to me, because you play for the now. You don't play for the what if. I did not understand the way that game ended.
That answer confused me a little bit, too. We went into the Auburn locker room after that game. I didn't go into the New Mexico State one afterwards since they lost. But when I watched it originally, my first thought, Brad, was that was kind of the set play for the end of game kind of deal. You know, kind of, you know, in football, you always have like a 2-point conversion play in for the end.
Right.
And no matter what the situation is, you're going to run it because you don't want to make a mistake. And the game that sticks out of my mind was the Kansas-Nebraska football game, where June Henley had this huge
break. Oh, yeah.
He ran for a billion yards. KU scores at the very end, and then June's not even in the backfield, so everybody knew it was going to be a pass, that kind of deal. And then the explanation afterwards was simply, no, we had set this play up all week, so we knew that everybody knew who was supposed to be on the field. They knew what play we're running. You don't want to have a confusion when it's 21-20 and you're about to beat Nebraska at home. My impression of what had happened, they thought, hey, this is the play we're going to run. We're going to try to win it here. You know, the coming around to pick, we're going to get this open three. But, man, you're right. You watched him – you watched the New Mexico State guard beat his man, and you're like, oh, my God, it's an open layup.
Right.
And then he fires that pass, which is incredibly difficult.
Almost like a no-look. It was almost like a no-look, yeah. And there was a defender there. It could have been picked off easily.
And then I'm watching and can't believe it, and then thinking, – oh my God, it worked. They're getting 3 free throws and they're going to win this game.
Nope.
And it obviously didn't work out that way. But no, 100% with you. Obviously, the explanation wasn't that was our play and that's what we're going to run. It was just a, you know, one of those things where in his mind, though, he was thinking that the whole way, I'm sure, and then didn't realize. I would love to be with that kid to watch the replay so he could see what he actually had.
Ugh,
and my guess is, in hindsight, he would absolutely like to lay that thing in and head to overtime.
All right, Kevin. Hey, I'm coming up on a break here. Final thing, give me your prediction tonight, Kansas and Auburn.
All right. I said this to a couple people yesterday, so I'll stick to it. But, again, comparative scoring, I think this thing goes down right to the wire. I think it's going to be an awfully tight game. I think Kansas will come up with one or two plays to win this game. I can't get past the history of what I said for Auburn earlier, and I know that shouldn't pay any attention to history. This Auburn team is different than Auburn teams of the past, but Tigers just haven't gotten here very often. They haven't advanced past here very often, and Kansas has. And one of the guys joked yesterday, said, we've only been here 4 times. And he said, and Kansas has been to the Sweet 16 like 32 or something crazy ridiculous is what he said. So I think Kansas wins in a close one. I think the celebration continues all the way back to Kansas City, and then I think that's when things get ridiculously difficult for this Jayhawk team. But I think a Sweet 16 run for this squad, probably a pretty good season. So I'll go with the Jayhawks heading home, and we'll all be at the Sprint Center next weekend.
Well, Kevin, I certainly hope so, and I appreciate you getting up early out there in Salt Lake City to join us on the show. And you got a long time to take in basketball waiting for that KU-Auburn game. So
I was going to say, if you got 3 or 4 more radio shows today, let me know. I got plenty of time.
All right. Hey, Kevin, thank you very much. Have fun.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, that is our good friend Kevin Romery, Midco Sports. He's with the Jayhawks in Salt Lake City. You can hear it here live right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. You're on Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Romery from Midco Sports for joining us from Salt Lake City, covering KU and Auburn tonight at 8:40 live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig has been running the show. Real quick, Chris, give me your upset
Maryland
pick for
today. Maryland over LSU.
Okay, I'll go Murray State over Florida. We are out of time. We survived a one-hour show. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.